show. Am I a fart head?
Yes, you are.
Oh, right.
Yes, you are, Martin.
Right.
No, hey, yeah, I remember that when they did that. And you know what's funny? They cut that from the TV version. He was like, you know, like, or not that part, but the part where they said something, when Martin says, you know, do I look like an old fart or a fart head or whatever? And then you heard all the kids say, yeah, they cut that on the TV version of AMC.
That's really weird. I haven't watched the TV version in a very, very long time. But hello, ladies and gents. Welcome to Beyond Retro. It's back. Beyond Retro lives. We haven't, I think the last time that we did this podcast, I think we did Cobra Kai season 2, so that's been a few months. So
it's been a while. It's been a while, definitely.
Long, long time. But on today's episode, in case you couldn't see already from what I've done to the screen, we're going to be talking about Jason Lives, Friday the 13th, part 6. A lot of people really like it and hold it in high regard, which I think both of us do. A lot of people kind of see this film as the beginning of the end. It's when we're starting to really take Jason into a different territory where he's got some humor to him, even though he's still killing people. It's kind of going in a different direction. May have turned some people off, but this is one of my favorite ones out of all of them. But you, you said there was one part that you didn't like as a kid.
Yeah, because I'll mention it's gotten even worse as adult. Not the movie, just a part of that. And by the way, yeah, you're right. This is the movie that when they started considering Zombie Jason, you know, like this is when he became Zombie Jason, because a lot of fans say I only liked him from 2, 3, 4, and then some people said I liked him when he got, you know, in 6 to 7, 8, and there's people who love it all. I love it all
same
too.
Here.
But there's one thing, and like I said, we're not doing this like it's not like we're gonna start from the beginning,
right,
middle to end.
Right.
We're just gonna be all over the place on the movie, but the kind of humor part. It's like when I was a kid, I hated those damn, paintballers. I just couldn't stand. It's like I said, I know they're trying to bring maybe, slightly a little humor to the movie just to, you know, to bring down the tension. But for me, I never liked the part where Jason grabs a guy, throws him into the tree in that part, and then there's a smiley face. I was like, really? It annoyed the hell out of me, even as a kid. But as an adult, it's gotten worse. But then this is the part that I was rewatching again the other day.
You said as an adult, it's gotten worse?
This one part in here, this one, the paintballers part has gotten worse. Meaning, I never understood that little, you know, the little guy with the glasses, you know, they play the goofy, silly, nerdy music, and you know, how he grabs the tree branch, it breaks, and then he tries to fix it back in. And I remember then he starts running and he trips, and they do this purposely slow motion, like they're zooming in on that gun flipping around and it lands. And I remember as a kid, I was thinking, what's going to happen? Because they're playing that suspenseful music, and he's panicking. He's looking for the gun, looking for about 30 seconds, never finds it. They pan to the other paintballers, and then when they come back to him, he has the gun. I was like, what was the whole waste of time for this almost 2 minutes of showing the nerd, but showing this dramatic gun flipping like you thought, Jason was going to come out. He's panicking, looking for it, thinking Jason's going to come out, only for then when they come back to him. Is the paint gun back. It's like it seemed wasted.
Joe, the movie is only an hour and 27 minutes long. You know, we gotta do what we can to fill the runtime.
Yeah, they sure didn't they? They stretched it out of 2 minutes of this dork, and then only for him to run from Jason to where you never seen how he got killed, but then you seen parts of him later. Yeah. But some just seemed like they could have filled that time with something so much better. But that the paintballer scene, and plus it's no knock. It was a C.J. Graham who was Jason in part 6. Okay. No knock at him, but in that particular scene when, you know, the little nerd shoots him with the paint gun, Jason looked a little chunky, and some people made fun of, like, that's when Jason looked fat, you know, in that movie. It's like, he never really looked fat. It was just one little scene in the movie, but I don't know. That's the only part in the whole movie, as stupid as it sounds, that annoyed me, is the paintballer scene.
I get it. It's kind of a throwaway segment, but
The triple head kill is cool, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I did
but
love the triple.
You got to fill that runtime, and you got to keep the body count going. Like every 5 minutes, someone's got to die. But let's kind of talk and start from the beginning of the film, which I feel like a lot of people would have a problem with. So Tommy Jarvis has escaped the mental institution with his buddy, and he's like, I gotta find him. I gotta make sure that he's in the ground. And we kind of get this, it does seem a little silly when you really think about it, because it's like, there's no way. But he opens it up, there's the body, he decides he's gonna go and get part of the fence, and he automatically, and I thought it was a nice touch, given the audio from Final Chapter, saying, like, die, die, and then he starts, like, stabbing him.
Losing his shit.
And then we get a storm, and there goes the lightning, and all of a sudden, Jason's back, and you're just like, you kind of wonder.
I love it.
I love it too, but you kind of have to wonder, when this was premiering in theaters, which, did you go see this in theaters?
I was there. Okay. Oh, I was there. And like I said, it was a...
Was there any sort of, like, that groaning from the audience? Was there anyone that was just like, oh, really?
This one, like I said, I believe it was two, three, four, and five, all in the drive-ins. Part six was finally back in the theaters, but there was no groaning because, you know, you're just getting into it. First, when you're kind of a younger kid, it's still scary and creepy, because I just remember when he's going to dig him up, and when they opened that coffin, and you see him laying all the maggots. I mean, it was spooky just getting by Jason. You know, back then, we still believed, oh, man, don't even get by him. And then you're right, he lost his shit. He grabbed the fence post, and he just starts stabbing. And then, yes, when he gets out of there, and then that lightning storm starts, and then, bam, it strikes him, then you know, oh, shit, it was scary, actually. No groaning. The people in the audience, you get freaked out. And especially when he jumps up for the first time to grab Tommy.
Yeah,
when Tommy's
I thought that, to me, that kind of felt like a throwback to the end of the first movie when he comes out of the lake from behind like that. It almost seemed like it had that same sort of framing to it, which was a nice touch. But that was a good jump scare. And
just to let you know, not to cut you off, but the parts when he finally, his eyes open, those maggots just around him was like, God, it looks so gross, so creepy. But
it's just, it's funny how he's sitting and kicking him away, and then his friend comes up with the shovel to hit him, and I like how Jason just like rams his hand through, and just like you see everything, and then just poof, done.
Didn't he just rip his heart out? I think that's what he did. I was like, God, that was another thing. It's like, you seen the guy running, he hits him, and Jason just doesn't even really move. Just the head move, turns around, does that. But it just shows, Jesus Christ, don't get by him. And now he's like, he seems even more unstoppable once he pops up. But it's like fate was on Jason's side that day. Because you see Tommy then after that is trying to throw the gasoline on him, trying to get that magic rains. It's just like,
be fair, it was really windy as well, because I don't think there's any way he would have been able to light that for long. As soon as he like held that up, that wind would have just taken that away, which I'm kind of surprised that they didn't just do that. But adding the rain added the effect to make Jason look slimier and everything. How do you feel about the opening credits, which was sort of like a play?
Oh, yeah, James Bond thing?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it was, and I think that was a part when we laughed. Everybody knew the reference. So we seen him walk, and he did the slash with the whole James Bond thing. I do remember people laughing. Not like, you know, mocking, like, oh, this is stupid, but it's like, we get it, you know, the little joke. So that, I like the opening scene, too.
Yeah, dead air. I have to get back in the crew.
Oh,
you can't see me on this end of things, but it's kind of like me getting back in the flow. Just like Jason did when he's like trying to find people to kill. It's not said right off at the beginning, but they've changed the name to kind of move past. But I also thought it was sort of funny too that someone of Jason's caliber that's killed countless people, and yet they find a way to not only bury him but go ahead and actually mark it. Like, wouldn't you just want to leave that unmarked? That seems like that would have been a good play.
Or not even deserve, maybe not even deserve a grave. Yeah. I don't know, but you're right.
Think about it. Like, if I'm sure there are probably some serial killers that are buried somewhere. Just think about that. If people got wind of where that was, that would be like a tourist hotspot.
Not only that, but you figured you would want this to be forgotten, because as you see, they want Jason and everything to be forgotten, like it was almost an urban legend, it wasn't real. But so, okay, if he's an urban legend and ain't real, then why even have a grave? It's like, you wouldn't have a grave if you want this guy to be forgotten and changing the name of everything.
And why even bury him in the general vicinity? Just take him somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, chop that damn, or as they thought, you know, turn him into ash. Just, you know, sit there and burn him, cremate him, something. I wouldn't want his body, but yeah, but he was incapacitated. You're right. This is like in other Friday the 13th before that, you know, he never was officially dead. Because they're like, man, he keeps coming back. He can't kill him. It's like, well, he really was never dead at the end of part two. He wasn't dead at the end of part three. He wasn't really dead. It's like just kind of incapacitated. And part four was the first time. Well, after what happened there, then you figured, okay, now, or you know, he's in the ground. You know, he should be done, but now he's brought
back.
Well,
just imagine like what they had to go through when you think about that, because they had New Beginning, which is probably one of my least favorites in the series.
It's kind of grown. I think it's grown on.
I
people.
Like the idea behind it, and I see where they were going with that, but I just imagine being in that writing room. It's like, well, we're bringing Jason back. How do you want to do it? And it's just, if you were to do that, is that how would you go about it the same way, or did you always have a different idea in your head of how Jason would come back?
I never had another idea. Just it worked perfect. I mean, it just worked for me. Right when I seen it, I never questioned anything. I was like, okay, I can see that happening. And I'll let you know, I don't watch documentaries and stuff, and you think I'd would for Friday the 13th.
Oh yeah, Crystal Lake Memories is fantastic. It's been a long time since I've watched it, but I'm surprised that you haven't checked that out.
Well, and here's the thing, because I'll ask you, I don't know if it was said, but you could definitely feel the vibe. I think that obviously Frankenstein was an inspiration for how to bring him back, because with the lightning and the soundtrack, Teenage Frankenstein. Hell, wasn't he, when he was making the call to Megan later in the movie, was by some place called Lugosi's store or Lugosi something? I don't know. I thought there was like just an homage to a lot of the old horror stuff. So, I mean, was that what it was called? I swear there was something he called it, and it had a.
I can't remember. Maybe it was. Yeah, I don't know. Someone will correct us in the comments, and she'll be like, "No,
they definitely will." But
that's not right.
Right. So I can't. I'm going to be honest. I don't remember the exact name of the store. But either way, was it ever said if Frankenstein was the inspiration of how to bring him back? Because it sure felt like it with all the nods.
I'm going to kind of feel like an asshole. I haven't watched that documentary in years. It's something that I would like to go back and revisit, because that it's so lengthy and rich, and they talk about every single movie going through. Joe, I'm just gonna have to like get you a copy of that or something, so you can check it out. Because
you know what's funny? I have the big book of the Crystal Lake book, and I've looked, and most of the time I was looking at pictures just to think, oh wow, look at that cool different version of part three of Jason. I didn't know about
I forgot that Joe doesn't know how to read.
No, I don't. I look at the pretty pictures. I don't read at all. So no, I was more, you know, and I should read it, because I have that book over there. You'd think it'd be in back of me, but I keep it in a safer spot against that wall shelf.
Wait, a safer spot? So like the spots over there and that side of the room aren't safe?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I was just worried about it getting damaged when I'd shuffle and move around my figures. And the shelf over there, it always stays with the same stuff. And it just sits in back of everything. It's actually in back of a big Jason platter I have. I had like a big platter. It was a cheap thing that they had at the time around some of those Halloween stores. You ever see it's like a big Jason plate or something?
I've never seen that, but I would always see the knockoff stuff, like just the shitty hockey mask and like a really short lame machete. I'm like, who would buy this?
Yeah,
or especially the officially licensed stuff, but the mask is just like really flat. I'm like,
oh, I hated some. Yeah, I seen that one still. They sell them so it's flat and then it foams to your face. They have made a long time ago. It's the only mask I got rid of because it just literally started falling apart. And sometimes I even try to keep some of the stuff that falls apart.
Of course
you do. Was Jason. I do. It was Jason based off of Jason Goes to Hell. For whatever reason, this mask was like 2 times the size of a normal human head. I was like, I just remember I bought it. I was like, this is cool. And I put it on and just had this giant thing. I was like, why is it so big? But it was at Spencer's at the time when they had one of their 75% off after Halloween.
You know,
because nobody was buying it.
You remember back in the day when Spencer's would just basically dedicate half of their store to like masks and costumes and everything? They don't really do that anymore. It's kind of a bummer.
What is their sister store? Because I remember having a discussion with somebody there, and they said, no, we're on the Halloween time. We barely do Halloween stuff anymore. They said, but our sister store, blah, blah, does the Halloween stuff.
I didn't even know they had one. Damn,
yeah, if you, you should try a quick Google search on that. See, Spencer's Sister Store or something like that. But either way, this other store is the one that carries all the Halloween stuff along with more of the figures, because Spencer's even stopped carrying a lot of the, you know, when they're having all the movie.
I hated that stuff too. It's just one day everything started to disappear, because Spencer's used to be the go-to place when there would be movie maniacs, and when it sort of manifested into like just the neck of toys early on. And yeah, there were a lot of things that I passed on in that store that collected dust and got clearance that I should have just snatched up, because you look at eBay.
Who would even know?
Yeah,
the eBay prices are nuts. I mean, but I definitely got that crazy foamed Tombstone of Freddy versus Jason when they were promoting it, you know, and of course, you know, almost 10 years later it comes out, but I have that thing. But not quickly, but I guess to go back to the movie, the other thing I liked, because you could almost say you're feeling like you're in the same age as the young kids' kids, is this is the first time we actually seen kids at the camp, young kids. And it kind of made you at sometimes feel safe, but also frightened the thought of, God, what if I was there? And that's the reason I told you. That's the reason I just wouldn't go to camp when I was a kid. I was petrified Jason would be at the camp. Then here comes this movie, and it – there you go. But I was like, well, I don't think Jason will kill the kids. But, like, especially one little girl, remember when she was saying her prayers, now I lay me down to sleep, and he's getting closer. Oh, that scared the shit out of me.
Could you imagine, though, like, it's your first day at camp, and you have this little paranoid girl that's just, like, really upset, and you're just trying to sleep and scaring everybody else? I mean, it ultimately ends up being true, but still, like, I would hate that girl so much. I only went to camp one time. I was there approximately, I think it was supposed to be like a week-long thing. I was there 2 days because I got really, really, really homesick, and my parents had to come pick me up.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I was a huge pansy as a kid. Huge! I avoided all these horror films. I was afraid to, like, be away from my parents for too long. And I always kind of, later on as an adult, blame them for that, because my mom would never really let me go stay anywhere as a kid. And when I did, actually, the first time I did, and I'm not going to go into detail about this, it was kind of a horrible experience. And I will just say this, and we'll leave it at that, and people will be like, what, really? But I witnessed domestic abuse. That kind of fucked me over for, like, going forward the next few years of staying with people, because I was like, is this something that just happens every time? Is this what people do?
Wow. Yeah. That'd be a hell of a first impression of
what,
I guess
what
so.
A weird story. My friend's older brother had his older friends over, and they were assholes. The typical older brother stuff. It's like, let's go fuck with his friends. They were mean to us. So it's just a terrible, terrible time. Anyway.
I guess so. But as we're back to the movie, while the kills, I mean, Hawes definitely had a pretty horrible one, getting his heart ripped off. They might not have been the most gross or bloody or, you know, intense ones, but there were still some creative ones. I mean, when he grabbed that one girl's face, he was screaming and slammed it right through, and then through the metal, and you see the imprint.
That was a really cool effect. And we're terrible at character names. Joe may remember all of them in this movie, but I will not. But the dude that's driving after she gets killed, and he's like, oh, he turns up the music, which I like the fact that Alice Cooper did pretty much all the actual songs in the film. But he's like, oh, babe, yeah, this is great. And then all of a sudden, it's just like right in the head. And
I like how he kept turning it up more and more, and then, hey, you having fun back there?
What are you doing? Taking a dump?
that his name, I think, was Court. Yeah. But, he's just in there, he's just blasting more, and then you're right, then when he looks, and then Jason, you know, bam, gets him right there. And then you see the big old RV going outside and all the fire. You're thinking, oh, man, it might have got Jason, and boom, he just pops up through the top.
There goes the door, and that leads to a really cool shot of him just standing up top. You got the fog, you got the fire.
That was a beautiful
scene.
It was
a nice touch.
It was,
But it was. Not really the goriest out of all of them.
No, it's just, like I said, weird, creative ones. Like when you see the one girl get her head, you know, like twisted and taken off, not too bloody. The other girl, all you see is her slam through the window, pulled back, and you see a splatter of blood go against the windows. The sheriff had a creative kill when he got folded in half. I mean, that's gross. I mean, it's gross as hell, but you're right. It wasn't really full of blood. And another surprising thing is this is the only one out of the entire series. There was no nudity. Jason has always had some boobs in every single one of the Friday 13ths, but not this one. So I wondered, that's why I was going to ask you, if when watching the documentaries, if they said why they cut back on nudity and maybe why they cut back on some of the gore. Was that, do you know anything about that?
Not that I can recall. I'm sure. No, and it is kind of strange when you think about that, because nudity is pretty much a staple of most R-rated slasher flicks. So,
and especially Friday the 13th, everyone had them, all of them except that
and
one.
And maybe we were going to get to that point. Maybe she could have taken her top off, but, you know, Jason cut the power off. Cut the cord, the power went off, and then what's-his-face finished. Because that look on his face, too, when she's, like, riding him, he's like, how long is this going to be? And she's like, oh, 10 minutes. And the, just that look of terror in his eyes. He's like, I can't hold this for 10 minutes. Can't make it.
Right,
Can't say I blame him.
No, definitely. And she was a character, I think, that just popped the hell up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I
mean, you didn't get much. It's like, it's her stepdad's RV, and that's she's fucking, and then she's gonna be dead in about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. That's about it. But you're right. They implemented. They put a lot of throwaway kills, which I don't get me wrong. I love. I like the two people that were there in the forest to having the champagne and you know. Those two, it's like you didn't care about them, you wanted those two to die, which they did, but I felt bad for old Martin. I felt bad for the caretaker. You know, he's sitting there, he's enjoying his drink, and he's lost the road. What happened to the road? Rock goes down, and he's drinking a little bit of Kathleen. He called it. Gonna be the death of me. And then he throws it, and you heard no crash, and Jason just holding it, snaps it. I felt bad for Martin.
I kind of like that. That shot, though, where he, like, has the bottle and then just breaks it, that's kind of his way of, like, kids, don't drink. Don't get drunk.
Yeah.
Which,
hell, even back to the beginning of the movie, I mean, not like I said, we're just going to be in just talking all over the place, but I loved when the two, you know, counselors were coming up, driving down the road, and when she stops, I love how he is just standing there, because basically, it's like I always said, he's warning you. You come to me or Camp Crystal Lake, you're going to get killed. I don't care who you are. Just get the fuck out of here.
Well, I like how dude's like, just run him over. Like, and that's what I would have done, but I guess she had the empathy to hit the brake. And I think that guy is the villain from Ghost.
You know, I can't remember Ghost too well, so I don't
think,
know.
You know, I'm actually going to look him up. But I do enjoy his kill where, like, Jason just basically, like, flings him behind him. I love that shot and thought it was great. And going back to the sort of implied kills, like when she gets stuck in the little mud hole and he just like stabs her in the face. You don't see it go into her face,
right?
But they show that exterior shot where he's standing there. And it's it's implied. But
right,
I'm gonna look that guy up because he's just got that familiar face.
Okay. No, but while you're looking that up, you're right. I mean, he gets flung like nothing. Then Jason just takes that, you know, fence post that brought him to life. That's why I thought it was cool. You know, that was the first thing he used to, you know, go ahead and kill somebody beyond where he was at in the grave. But when he shoves that, you know, that spike through the glass and towards the girl, you know, I always thought, damn, I hope nobody was in there because it looked really awkward.
Right.
Like, you know, when he was going after, something looked awkward. But you're right, he eventually kills her. But, a lot of implied deaths, and I just... Yeah, I would love to know if there was a reason why they were just implied and not shown, you know?
No, that was him, and that was actually his first movie. Interesting.
What? Oh, Jason Lives was his first movie?
So a couple years down the road, he would end up playing the bad guy in the Patrick Swayze Demi Moore film Ghost. So there you guys go for that one. How did you feel overall about the counselors, the ones that we actually get to be around? Were there any weak ones? Did you think overall that they were kind of not as great as the counselors in other films prior?
I, you know, it's strange. It's like we always said in every Friday the 13th movie, even if they're kind of like forgettable, you're still kind of, you know, you get into at least knowing who they are. But no, I mean, the only person I liked, of course, was Megan. She's the only person that, you know, I could really focus on. But the others were just kind of
there.
Kind of a little forget, just kind of there. I mean, and like I said, the other Friday the 13th movies, same thing. There's ones that are just there, and then there's some that you gravitate more to. But then there's other characters, like I said, in this movie that you just cared nothing for. Like I said, all the paintballers, you didn't care about them. The two dorks that were sitting there having the champagne and then get killed when they're on the motorcycle at the same time, you don't care about them. But you still kind of have a little something, but it's, I don't think you're too invested in anybody else.
Yeah,
really.
Well, I mean, Megan had a lot going on for her. Her dad's the sheriff. And oddly enough, she's just immediately, strangely attracted to Tommy. Like, just immediately. And she's like, what kind of weird issues you got going on where as soon as you look at this guy in a jail cell, you're like, yeah. But she helps Tommy a lot along the way, even picking him up, which I thought was funny when they're on the phone together. And she's like, I'll be there in 30 minutes. I'm like, really? It's that long of a drive? Jesus.
That's
one of my favorite parts too, is when she picks him up and they see the cops and she's like, get down, and like shoves his head like down there.
It's gonna be a hairy turn.
And I'm just like, yeah, those 80s chicks didn't really shave too much down there back then.
Times have changed. But and the other thing is, you know, as a kid, I always remembered you wanted people to know Jason was real. Like, you know, how her dad, you know, he knew of the stuff, but wanted to forget it. Didn't even want to think that Jason could be back. And when he encounters Jason for the first time, that look like, oh, fuck, now you know he's real. And you shoot him. And then he gets up and you shoot him again. It's like, oh, my God. Now things just went into a whole other fucking realm, because we weren't seeing Jason getting shot up and the other ones, you know, like how this just happened. It's like, that's different. Now he is unstoppable.
And
that was a hell of a
thing. Shooting
him
from like 10 feet away with a shotgun multiple times. And then him to keep getting up. And when he pulls the pistol and actually shoots him in the head and you see his head cock back and then come back. Yeah.
Yeah. That was fucking, that's when you're like, okay, now Jason is on somewhat of a different level. I mean, he always felt unstoppable in the other ones, but this was quite different when guns were implemented. And you're right, when that one shot hit him, I think they even gravitate to show it was like right in the center. I thought you seen a shiny bullet imprint or something, but that changed the complexion of like,
he could have used his deputy's laser sight.
Yeah, bang, exactly.
And Jason moves fast in this movie. They make it a point to show him walking a lot to show how swift
and it's kind of like a good, it's a kind of a hard stride. And also it was different seeing him, like, because they were showing him in like the daytime walking through the forest in parts, and it was weird because we, you know, yes, in part three you'd see him in kind of lights in certain parts, but it's usually you always like seeing Jason or the killers in the shadows. But you're right, they showed him walk a lot and he had a stride to it, which also shows there are people that like I said, I always say it was part eight that started the whole myth of Jason just, it don't matter, man. You could run 100 miles an hour and he'd be in back of you. And suddenly, boom, he's right in front of you. I was like, guys, this only happened in Jason Takes Manhattan. Did they start the teleporting crap? I'm like, but he never runs, though. I was like, did you see part two he ran? Part three he ran? Part four he ran? I mean, he ran in part four. I was like, even five, he didn't run, but he had a good stride to him. Seven is when Kane Hodder started doing the depiction of Jason, which was this kind of like, you felt like he was a juggernaut of a bastard, and you didn't need to run when you seen it like that. But yeah, that's just weird. I just had to bring that up. It's always drove me nuts when they said he's never ran. It's like, go back and watch all the others. You'll see he ran in a lot of the earlier ones, and even six, he had a pretty good stride.
And speaking of part eight, I like the teleportation aspect to him. It adds to me, it was fun. How else are you gonna do it? They're on a fucking boat.
Yeah, and then when he goes to Manhattan, they had to do the same thing, because you remember, you know, when the principal of the whole thing or whatever, when he was running from Jason in the alley, and then suddenly he goes to the top and boom, gets thrown out, and Jason's at the top of that abandoned building. But hey, you're right, it still works. It was still fun. That movie might get a lot of shit, but I think the more people watch it, it seems like people have come around to enjoy and appreciate that as well. I've never really heard anybody, unless they're not really too much into horror, Jason, you know, as a whole, I don't see too many people saying, I completely hate this movie, I don't like this movie. Even the ones they don't like, It seems like they've always said, but I kind of like this and like that. It seems like that. At least to me, it seems
I've always had a soft spot for it just because it was the first one that I sat down and watched in full as a kid because I was terrified of all of it. So when I sat down and finally watched, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know what? That wasn't too bad. Granted, it was, like, on USA. So that's the other thing that actually pisses me off a lot is they don't do the marathons hardly at all anymore. I remember every Friday the 13th, and they may have done it yesterday on AMC. I don't know.
It was a sporadic marathon at AMC to where they went in a different order and still didn't really show them all. But you're, I miss when
USA
I always
used
loved
to,
USA.
To do it. And they would have the little bumpers in between on commercial breaks with like people actually like running and everything. And then they were creative with it and they had fun with it. I miss that. I miss the having a channel like USA that had Up All Night with Gilbert Godfrey doing the marathons. And even like TNT when they would have Joe Bob Briggs on the weekends. I miss shit like that. There needs to be more of it, and I know Joe Bob's come back. He's on Shudder doing the same stuff again. But I wish there was just more, because back then you had like Elvira and all those other...
Didn't Rhonda do a marathon on USA too? Wasn't Rhonda one of their hosts? Was it Rhonda Shear, if I'm saying her name right?
Yeah, didn't that come on after Up All Night, or was it before? I can't remember anymore.
Well, I can't remember. I just thought she hosted a lot of those marathons as well.
Yeah, she did. I think there was a time or two that she did, and then they sort of went off in another direction. It's been a long time, but Takes Manhattan was the first one that I sat down. I'm like, oh. I was still kind of like nervous and everything, because you got to think, when this movie's hitting TV, we're talking like 1990, 91, somewhere around there. So I'm like 7, 8 years old, terrified.
Oh, yeah, God. I mean, of course I'd get to kids. I mean, even when I was watching them at 4, I still was scared with watching the movies.
God,
but it made it.
I can't even imagine watching those at 4 years old. No.
Well, that's the thing. My parents always, even then, would let me know, it's fake, it's not real, it's fake, it's not real. I was more scared, I told you, the Incredible Hulk, the transformation on the TV series than I was of Jason or Michael Myers. But it made it to, no, it was, like I said, I was frightened. I thought, and they kept saying, he's the good guy, though. But I kept saying, he looks mean. I didn't know the difference. But, no, I started feeling this weird anti-hero type of thing for Jason, because I felt sorry for him that he drowned. And as I watched it and getting older, even if he scared me, I thought, he's still kind of a good guy. They killed his mom and he drowned. I used to have a weird thought.
Think about it, yeah, you're right. Like,
yeah, they're the only person that ever loved and cared for him. Got killed by one of his counselors.
And from there on out, it's just like, I hate every counselor. They are the reason that I died.
Yeah. No, I mean, true. I mean, that would be in his head. But back to part 6 again. You're right, after he's getting shot up to shit and nothing's happening, you do start wondering, what are they going to do now? Because Tommy's, you know, figuring a way of trying to stop him. He thinks he might have an idea of returning him to his watery grave. Is it just this gigantic boulder? I was like, how the hell you get that thing moving around? But he gets that onto the boat, you know, which it was creative. And then the part with – I loved seeing how that fire went around the boat, you know, to try to get Jason, you know, up and bring him out. And then, of course, he wraps that chain around his throat, gets him down there, he's stuck, and he's still even fighting then. And, you know, it takes Megan to come out there and, you know, get that motor going to slice his throat.
Yeah.
He's shaking.
Yeah.
I remember that being gross. But, yeah, because I didn't know about you. I kept thinking, how are they going to stop him? So that was a creative way of, now you are stuck. You're done now. But what did you think?
Well, I think it's kind of cool when you watch it. Probably especially if you're watching them in order for the first time, you have that idea in your head that's like, well, he drowned as a boy, and they explore this further and further on that he's afraid of water. So to see him just walk straight up and just submerge himself, it's just like, oh, shit. It's on now. Because he would think, too, that Tommy kind of had that similar idea of like, well, I'll drown him. How can I get him out here? And it's kind of funny, too, that they had that playing back and forth, because Megan's there with the kids and he's like about to go after her and he's yelling and then she yells and he turns his attention back and forth. But yeah, you kind of don't know where it's going to go. And you're like, well, someone's going to die here, right?
Yeah, And it was, and that was the scary part is when, you know, she yelled Tommy and boom, and then he, you know, when Jason busted through to come out to get her and, like I said, is choking her, and then he's, Tommy's trying to bait him back, you know, like, you ain't mad your head, yeah. You big pussy. I love when he's just mocking him to come out there. That was great, but it's, you're right, when he was walking in the water, though, you're thinking, well, I thought Jason was supposed to be scared of water, and this, he ain't scared of shit now, but he still, it's like, okay, you drowned before. I'm going to make sure you drown again, but you are not going anywhere. Because even if you're unstoppable, you're probably going to need to at least breathe. But now you're stuck and you're going to rot in the bottom of this lake.
Yeah, and just having that final kill, like you said, where the motor's just like going at his neck. And you just hear that. But then that last just like, and then the blood. Yeah. It was a nice little touch. And those kids... I'm assuming, like, camp was over after that, right?
That was it. Like, yeah, I don't think we're going to be... How do you explain that one going back to your mom and dad? Every single one of them talking about this murderer. And you can't... What are they going to say? Oh, you just... they made it up. Or, but it's like, Jesus, what about the crime scene when they come back the next day? All these dead bodies. And I'm sure... Yeah, somebody probably scuba dived to see Jason was there. It's like, yeah, leave him. That's the way you do it. Don't give him a grave and give him a tombstone. Leave that fucker right there at the bottom of the lake and let's forget about it.
And I think that it's neat that someone actually did that in real life. They took like a
where was that? Because that's crazy as hell.
I want to say, I'll look it up.
Could you imagine being somebody who did scuba dive or did something and you seen that, you know, what the hell would run through your head if you seen, you know, Jason submerged in the bottom of a lake
or a
river or wherever the hell
since
it is.
Been removed. I know that much.
Oh,
yeah.
Was
like
it?
Once it, Minnesota, I think,
Why did they remove it? I mean, were people complaining? It's like, how many people are jumping in the water to go wherever the hell that was that deep? I mean, I don't know even how far out it was, but I thought that was a creative thing for somebody to do that.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing a video of it now. Video's pretty old, dating back to 2014, but it's being passed around again. So I'm assuming at some point it had been uploaded to YouTube, and like most things, not our shows, but like most things, stick around for a while, someone will see something and, hey guys, check all this out. So maybe one day that will happen. I think it just got removed because the divers weren't too fond of it.
Probably panicking.
Yeah,
there's
probably
a scuba tank, something happened, they hit a rock.
I mean, think about that though. Like, if you saw that, you wouldn't, to me, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, is that a real person?
It might give you a double take if you're not expecting it. I guess if you're just scuba diving and you're looking for some kind of crazy fish and shit, you've seen that.
I guess it depends on how murky the water is, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. But but this movie, it had a great ending. It had that little ending with the eye opening and letting you know. That's what I always remember going to the movies, because like you said, I know you were too young for some of the others. But of course, after we've seen the jump scare at the end of part one with Jason, you start, and then it happened in part two. You were expecting this is something you will see at the end. Of course, you wanted to see somebody get the best of Jason, but you still always wanted more movies. So, you know, it happened two. It happened with three, you know, was different, you know, with how they did the thing with part three, because it was the twist with the mother coming up, which, you know, I know confused a lot of people. That was four. Well, hell, you just had the crazy look of Tommy looking at the screen as a kid, and you're thinking, oh, is he going to be the killer? And then finding out they had some kind of alternate other, you know, footage and shit that, you know, we only have, what is it? They only have the video, but you have no audio for some of this alternate stuff in part four.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's weird how they would do stuff like that, film it, and then it just either doesn't have audio or some stuff where it's just like an audio recording, and I guess things just get lost. But it's kind of funny to me that if you're making, like, the budgets on these things aren't massive, but like, you are making a major motion picture for a major company in Paramount, and how do things get lost and destroyed over time?
Yeah, I always hated that. Yeah, you wish it wouldn't, because you'd love to have, you know, all this footage that some of it's, you know, grainy. You'd love it to be clear. You'd like to have audio for it, especially nowadays with all the bonus content they add with DVDs and Blu-rays, and sometimes even integrate it into the movies to have one, you know, fluid thing. But yeah, maybe some of that footage, that lost footage, will be found someday. We'll see it all. But yeah, I love part six. I mean, it is one of my favorites. I always say, hey, this is my favorite, and this is my favorite. There's some that are, you know, less than others, but
I think we've ranked them before, but I would say like my top tier ones would definitely be 6, 4, and 3. Are the
3, 4, 6, and 7? Yeah, in whatever order, I love 3, 4, 6, and 7. I just have to. If there's, you know, a time where there's a marathon, I'll always want to watch it, even though I have it on DVD and stuff, and I know it's cut on TV. Part 8, I still like, but it's one that if it comes on TV, it's like, eh, I guess I don't really have to catch it because it seems like it gets cut into a way to where it's not.
That movie got butchered really bad on TV. They need to go back now, especially with the way TV is. They need to go back and re-edit the TV edits and make them. Because some of the stuff, it's just like, well, why even cut that now? Maybe I could understand 30 years ago, but now, no. Because there's like way gorier shit on TV these days.
No, you're right. It's like, wow, was it really that bad when Julius, when he got his head cut or punched off and it's, you know, flying down and goes, it's like, I think when they cut it for TV, you see a punch and then you see a garbage can lid shut or something stupid. Yeah. It's like, really, we can't see that at all. Is it that bad?
That's one of my favorite kills. I think that's one of my favorite Jason kills of all time.
And yeah, I remember the theater was pretty hot for it. That's another one in the theater because they were rooting for Julius when he's beating the piss out of him. It's like, oh, you know, Jason's baiting him. You know, he's just baiting him in. He's going, he's acting like he's hurt, and then he just barely any movement. And he's like, what do you say? Take your best shot, motherfucker. And then boom, that's it. It was just off the crowd.
I wish I would have been able to go and have seen all of those in theaters like you did, you old man.
It's cool. It is. I know I'm old as shit. But what's cool is I love seeing how crowds can get so hot for both things at the same time. They're screaming because Julius is beating the piss out of him into it. And then even after Julius gets his head knocked off, they're screaming for Jason. It's like, we don't care. We're that excited.
I probably would have been annoyed. Because I hate it when people are like too loud. Like in some cases, it makes sense if it's like a general, everyone's like, ah. But if it's like just a couple of teenage girls down the row that are just being like the entire time, like when I saw Dawn of the Dead the remake, there was a group of three girls that's all they did, like every time they're just squealing and shit, and I'm just like, come on, it's not that scary, you guys are just being dramatic.
No. Yeah, no, for that, you're right. That can be annoying, but it worked for at least that scene because you're into it. I mean, it's just punching, and yeah, I like that part. But yeah, so part 6, definitely, you guys haven't seen it, which I'm sure you have if you're watching and listening to us podcast. I'm sure you've seen it.
And I need to hit Joe up sometime soon so he can customize me a Jason from part 8 because that is the only figure that I'm missing now. I got
That's the only part anybody's missing. NECA, Mezco, anybody. If you guys, whenever this, all these goofy rights issues that are done with Friday the 13th, make it. I can't stress this enough. If you guys made Roy from part 5. Now, let me say it again. Roy from part 5, the one that people say they hate more than Jason Takes Manhattan, and that sold out, this will sell. I can't stress it enough. The movies and the figures are different, meaning as collectors, we are obsessed on having all versions of things. We might not even like the movie as much as others or some we might even hate, but we love these figures. And like I said, if people were buying Roy like crazy, which it's an awesome looking figure, all the different versions, I think there's a few, they'd get hate.
I was going to say, because Joe, you can't see me on here, but I actually did get this in the mail a couple days ago, the Roy figure, and I threw him on the shelf. You guys check any online retailers, go check your local Target. Maybe they'll have him on the shelf. They did a fantastic job.
What, is there an Ultimate Roy that just came out or something? Or
well, yeah, I'll have to show it to you when, I guess when we're done recording, that way you'll be able to see me. But yeah, it's part 8. I hope when all of these issues are settled with the copyright and who owns it and all this horse shit that we can get a proper Manhattan figure.
Yeah, because it's such an iconic look. I mean, as you know, every version of Jason is different looking, and this one's quite different. He has the slimy look, the yellower mask, the chevrons are in a different direction, but it's so distinct. And well, I mean, if people hate it so much, why would people be demanding for that figure so much?
Again,
you could say the movie might not have been everybody's favorite, but the figure people want.
Are you sure there's a demand? Because I feel like that would probably be their answer. It's like, oh, there's not a demand for it. It's just the two guys that do that show that won't want.
Well, hell, my reply would be to them, did you hear people asking for a Roy figure? No, I didn't hear it. Again, I always wanted it, but I didn't see it in demand on forums and on Facebook pages saying, let's get a Roy. But I see more people saying, where's Jason from Jason Takes Manhattan? At least that's Jason. And I've seen a lot of people do customs. If you do a custom search, you know, Jason Takes Manhattan, Part 8, people made it because they want it. So trust me, people do want these figures. They want it. And I still say a lot of people have come around to enjoy Part 8 a little more. Maybe they didn't flip over it when they first seen it, but I think people understand just, you know, the aspect of that movie along with all the others and the feel of it. So really, if you're a Friday the 13th fan, you really don't hate any of them. You might like some more than others, but I don't really see the hate. So yes, if anybody that's listening to this, if you have any involvement, NECA, Mezco, whoever has the licenses for stuff, yes, we want Part 8. Trust me, people want Jason from Jason Takes Manhattan.
Well, it's just a thing now with Sean Cunningham, who...
Victor Miller and all that crap.
That's the main thing that's kind of holding everything up. As far as I know, since NECA just put out this Roy figure, that is sort of like the last one going forward. I mean, they're going to have the Toonie Terrors. They're going to have the alternate NES paint colors coming out later on. But yeah. Speaking of customs, if you guys want to hit Joe Amato up, like I'm going to do, and if you want a Part 8 custom as well, click the link down below and shoot him a message.
Appreciate it.
Well,
yeah, I've been making Jason figures for a while now, especially in that He-Man style, but I'll do any style. But like I said, I was making those figures in that style for at least probably 6 years, 7 years I've been doing that. So I love making Jason figures. I'll do it any style they want.
And I was thinking, too, you'll have to look at the Roy figure. Maybe that would be a better one instead of the Michael Myers that you were thinking about using, because it is sort of
for a base. I'll look at that. But all right, well, how'd you want to close it up, Nathan? It was a good episode.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we hope you guys enjoyed. And if you're not subscribed yet, hit that button, ring the bell so you get notified when we go live. Check out the links down below. You can download us on Podbean and iTunes. And like I said before, hit Joe Amato up for a custom. And buy one of his t-shirts. I'll have that down below as well.
Appreciate it.
And this was fun. And I think we got some more horror movie talk that we're going to have here on Beyond Retro, because that's definitely kind of our thing, Joe and I. We really like horror films.
Yeah, and especially with how it's getting in the Halloween season, it's just going to get
that's going to amp us up even more. So we hope you guys enjoyed, and until then, we will see you in the future to talk about the past. Take care, everybody.